That's Boyce and Stanley. Beautiful piece of music, Father. It's 8:20 on a Sunday morning. I'm delighted to welcome to the studio Charles Timberlake.
Good morning, Alan.
It's been a while.
It has, just over 2 years, actually.
Is it
amazing,
really? No, it isn't.
How time flies.
It can't be.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It was my birthday 2 years ago, I remember.
Gosh, we weren't even in the studio then.
No,
I think we were in the old one.
Yeah.
Which is now just a hole.
Yes. Complete with diesel fumes, do you remember?
Yes, I do remember now. Yeah. Mm. You know, I mentioned earlier on when you first came in that you always seem to be amazed when I say that people really love your
really
music.
Really love the music. Well, I'm never quite sure what it is, I suppose, that kind of tugs at the heartstrings. And perhaps I shouldn't be asking that question.
Well, why do you think it is?
I don't know. But, you know, I mean, particularly Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. And I'd just like to say a big thank you to you for, you know, for bringing our music to a wider audience through this programme.
Oh, get out of it. We play the music and the audience love it.
I mean, the thing about that particular piece, it is a wonderful piece. It goes very deep, doesn't it? And I meet people and they say, well, we've heard many, many different arrangements of this song, this tune, but we've never heard it played in quite this way. And I think, well, you know, what way are they talking about? But, it's
incredible the power of music, though, isn't it? You've met sort of many of our listeners who come to your concerts after hearing you on this show. What particular piece do they like you playing, apart from Make
Well,
Me a Channel?
Apart from that piece, because it is hugely popular. Well, there's something about the old and the new. They love, you know, we love to hear tunes that we recognise, that we know, perhaps that we can sing along to. I mean, I will play anything. And if somebody says, you know, can you play this? And I think, because I don't read music, everything's kind of up here. And if I can't play it, I will be completely honest with them. And I'll say, well, I can't play that, but I can play this. You know, would you like to hear this?
So how do you go about learning the hymns then?
Well, it's all like up here, you see. So I will listen to them and perhaps listen to them one or, you know, perhaps several times to, you know, to pick it up and things. So, I mean, that's how I will learn all the stuff I play.
You see, that's interesting. Yes. Maybe that's why people like your interpretation. So you're not actually just studying the notes, but you're actually putting your own heart and soul into it.
And obviously playing something completely different each time, which makes it very difficult to play with other musicians.
Okay.
But unless they're kind of in tune as well, and we had a wonderful session on Saturday night with some guys who, you know, who were, I mean, it's a kind of busking, isn't it? Where you've just got that interaction between you and you know what's coming and you don't have to say anything, you just know instantly and you know that. But there's something about the old and the new and people, you know, they do love to hear new material as well. And and that's where I feel we're kind of doing the right thing, I suppose, by in the recordings that we've done recently, by trying to combine some of the well known stuff with our own compositions.
Now, here's something I know you'll be interested in. Last week, I chatted to the Archbishop of York, John Sentimu, about a fundraising banquet that was held in the Minster to raise funds to restore a 15th century stained glass window. Well, congratulations today go to staff and students at the Architectural Glass Centre at Swansea Metropolitan University, who've taken on a variety of challenges, including the restoration of stained glass windows at Margam Castle near Port Talbot and Neath's old Windsor Cinema. How important is it, do you feel, that we protect buildings of architectural significance?
Well, churches and buildings of architecture, you know, like that are hugely beautiful places. When we go to church on a Sunday, I think it's, I always feel it's not the building that's the church, it's the body of people. When I perform, I always feel an enormous kind of sense of privilege to be giving something to the audience. If it happens to, you know, it can be in shopping centres, it can be outside, it can be in marquees, but if it happens to be in a church, a beautiful church or a cathedral or, it's hard to describe the feeling, but I'm sure as a performer you will know, you know, what I mean. I feel our churches are part of our national heritage, and we have an enormous sense of tradition and history in this country. And I feel that our churches and cathedrals are a very big part of that. And this always comes home to me, actually, as well, when I meet tourists visiting my home village in Hampshire. And we have all from all over the world, but particularly the ones from Australia and New Zealand. And they come and they marvel at, you know, we've got St. Peter's Church, which sort of dates from Saxon times. We've got the medieval buildings, the abbey, the mill and everything. And it isn't until they, you know, they say, well, the, you know, our oldest church out there is about 150 years old, that you kind of realise what they, you know, what they mean.
Well, let's play one of your new compositions, if you like, the Lord's Prayer. We'll talk about this after we've heard it. How's that?
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, I'm sure that's going to become a real favourite here on GMS. Charles Timberlake and John Daniels and the Lord's Prayer. And Charles is my guest. I explained that that was your composition. It wasn't really strictly, was it? It was your father's composition, but arranged by
it's
you again.
It's our kind of version, if you like, of a setting of the Lord's Prayer that Dad wrote in, 35 years ago, actually. I remember it well. We were on a family holiday in Scotland in the caravan. And staying in the grounds of Blair Castle, and Dad was there with his manuscript paper, not a piano in sight, all up in his head, you know. It was just amazing. And it's strange because, despite not being a particularly religious man, he did write a lot of religious pieces, including a wonderful setting of the 121st Psalm for my sister's wedding. He was a brilliant pianist and a wonderful accompanist. He had that ability, and there's no doubt that I get it from him. I'm pretty sure of that. To just sit down at the piano and doodle, and also to be a bit daft. He could go from playing something extremely serious to something very, very silly, and I love to do that as well. He used to recount the occasion he played for the Titchfield. He used to play for the Titchfield Panto Players for a number of years. And one particular occasion, and he started off by playing a kind of tarah with the left hand. Everyone thought there was a cue for the national anthem, so they all stood up. And he went straight into a kind of diddle-dee-dee, you know, just brought the house down. So, yeah, it's the kind of man he was. You know.
We've been asking listeners to get in touch to explain why their father or father figure was or is an inspiration to them. Your latest work, Only in Your Eyes, was released on the 20th of March this year, and it's dedicated to the memory of your late father, Arthur. It includes 6 well-known worship songs, including John Wimber's Moving Isn't He Beautiful, and 9 original compositions as well. It must be pretty difficult for you choosing what tracks you're going to put on it.
Choosing what tracks? Well, yes. I think John's been very good because he's kind of essentially left that down to me. This is John Daniels, of course, who's been a huge part of this. You know, I met John just 7 years ago, and meeting him really changed the course of my life. And without him, you know, the last 5 albums just wouldn't have been produced in the way that they have, and touching so many hearts.
On the album, you have the Lord's Prayer. How difficult is it for you to play that?
Well, I feel very close to Dad when I play that. It's strange, particularly when I play it at home, back in St. Peter's, where he would have played a lot.
You played it at his funeral, didn't you?
I did, yes. And it was an enormous privilege to play at his funeral, his big day, as he liked to call it. Yes. And, you know, I think because you've kind of hit the nail on the head, Alid, there, because I tend to play it, pieces, particularly that one, in a slightly different style each time, slightly differently, you know, I kind of think, well, he's up there and thinking, saying, oh, you missed a note there, or, you know, you didn't get that bit quite right, or whatever.
But do you agree then? Because for many, creative endeavours are a way of kind of living on, if you like. Do you feel that your father is very much with you when you are performing?
Very much so. I think it's wonderful to, you know, to be giving this piece that's kind of, you know, been there for 35 years. It was actually sung. It was written and sung and performed for probably the first 5 years back home, by the school of which he was a governor. But it's lovely that it's kind of out in the open and having this airing. I think
you ditched the words and you thought, no, I'm going to have that.
Yeah.
Typical. You say, I want to talk to you. You're head of pastoral care in a school. Do you feel that you're continuing with pastoral work through your music? You seem a very, very caring person.
Well, that's a very interesting one. I mean, I think, the music does seem to go very deep, and it does have an enormous, it's quite powerful, and it seems to have a very great effect on people. It's very calming. I do sell a lot of music to schools and to teachers who work with children with behavioural difficulties and special needs. So yes, it does go quite deep. But you know, these are very troubled times that we're living in, Alid, and we're experiencing a lot of natural disasters, a lot of premature deaths and illness and everything, and people are really struggling, and particularly with the economic climate in this country as it is. And it's kind of summed up, I think, by a conversation I had with a customer just before Christmas. And she rang me and she said, Charles, I believe that your music next year will be very much needed by many people. And I just felt, you know, the real depth of that.
There is definitely a feeling that people want sort of to opt out a little bit. And you need that time to relax.
And it's that whole kind of thing for me, which is kind of reaching out to people who don't necessarily have a faith, or who feel, well, you know, for whatever reason, we don't fit in church, or we don't want to go to church, or for whatever reason, and actually just reaching out to them and being able to offer them, and particularly, you know, bringing them access to these hymns and worship songs, perhaps through, you know, in a way that perhaps they wouldn't have access to otherwise.
Charles Timberlake, thanks so much for your company.
Thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure being
here. It's not going to be 2 years, OK? Mm. Come back soon,
okay.
Please do.
Lovely.
And
I'd
keep sending
to.
All your fabulous pieces of music to us. We really appreciate them.
Thank you so much.
I know you've got a moment of reflection for
Indeed.
Us.
Indeed. Well, today we remember and give thanks for our fathers, and we especially think of those who are no longer with us and the members of family that they've left behind. I'd like to read a poem for Father's Day, which for me kind of sums up what today's all about. It's anonymous, but it's called What Makes a Dad. God took the strength of a mountain, the majesty of a tree, the warmth of a summer sun, the calm of a quiet sea, the generous soul of nature, the comforting arm of night, the wisdom of the ages, the power of the eagles in flight, the joy of a morning in spring, the faith of a mustard seed, the patience of eternity, the depth of a family need. And then God combined these qualities, and there was nothing more to add. He knew his masterpiece was complete, and he called it Dad.